Did anyone notice Cam's tie this morning, or does he wear that tie every week? He wears that tie every week. Well, that's the Lord preparing you for this morning's message. Okay? That's the Lord preparing you for this morning's message. It's going to be, this is pretty left field, okay? This morning's message is very unusual. It's more of a history lesson than a message, so to speak, but it will be a message to you, I trust, and hopefully it will give you some very good ammunition, fuel, information that you can use to help you with your witnessing to those who don't know the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven and you don't know for sure that you're a Christian, then some of these things that you will see this morning in our study might open your eyes to be able to see, wow, okay, now things are starting to make sense, and you will seek out one of us and talk to us about how you can know your sins forgiven and have a home forever guaranteed in heaven. Okay, so it'll just take a moment or two. Miles, can you stick that down the back somewhere so that everybody can grab it? And you can keep the sleeve. Happy birthday. Okay, now, I need to... this here. Would you like to come and lead in a song while we're doing that? Okay. All right, turn it on. Hope the batteries are good. Now, I've got to turn this around so you can't see the next picture. All right, here we go. Okay, no worries. All right, so while we're waiting, anyone have any... Oh, by the way, with the Smiths in East Timor, there was a huge flood that destroyed a good part of the city, including the compound where the Smiths are, and it was a very serious amount of destruction right through the city, including on their property. And so there's quite a bit of work needs to be done, and that's what is happening and why they are asking for their special need. Okay, it's a lovely picture, isn't it? I wonder who took that. Anyway, I think that's South Africa. All right, this is all a bit strange. Alright, we'll try again, and we'll do that, and see what happens. Ah, very good. So now you can see why I asked about Cam's tie. Yeah, we might drape it over the pulpit or something. Alright, probably won't need my glasses from this distance. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I'm going to do something a bit strange, okay? So, well, those of you who know me already know that I'm a bit strange, so you won't be surprised. But for those of you who this is your first time to put up with me, then it may be a bit off-putting, but let's pray. Our dear Father, we are so blessed and so thankful that you have given us your word, and we know exactly what you have done for us and what you require of us. What a wonderful truth that the God of all creation and the one who controls the universe would love us and provide a way for us to be forgiven and have a home in heaven. So Lord, now I pray for this session as we would look at this unusual topic, you might say, and I pray that you would help me to share these truths with these dear ones, and that they would be able to be blessed and equipped by what they learn this morning, and it all would resound to your honour and glory as we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. So, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Okay. There you go. You don't often have a church service started with that, do you? All right. What verse is that? But yes, Aussie, Aussie, all right? And we're going to talk about Australia today. And I trust that, as I said, it's a bit of an unusual topic, but the title of this message this morning is Why Australia is Such a Great Country. I don't think there's any argument about the fact that Australia is a great country to live in, right? We all know that people risk their lives on boats and so forth to get here. Why is that? It's because Australia is a wonderful place to live in. Those of us who were born here and have grown up here tend to take it very much for granted. True? But folk from other countries who risk their lives or who pay huge amounts of money, their entire life savings, in order to get here, even illegally on a boat, understand that Australia is a great country. And so the question is, why is Australia a great country? Some people call it, and I hate to use this word, they call it the lucky country. Okay? Oh, that irks me. Why does that irk me? Because a Christian should never use that word. Okay? I'm pretty sure the word lucky comes from Lucifer. And this is one of my hobby horses, so I've just... Have you got an extra hour? Okay. That shouldn't ever come off of a Christian's lips, that word. Why? Because you are stealing glory from God. If something good happens to you, what should you say? Praise the Lord. That's what you should say. Okay? And the Bible says, give credit where credit's due. Psalm 29, verse 3 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Amen. He is the one that answers prayer. When you get a new job, when something excellent happens, you just almost get wiped out by a truck, a Christian doesn't say, wow, boy, was I lucky. No, a Christian says, oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord, on my phone, when I'm, you do the finger typing where you swipe it across and whatever, if I put a dash, then it automatically comes up with the word praise, because it knows that when I put a dash, I'm going to be doing praise the Lord. And that's what should be rolling off of your lips, Christian. Our lips were made for praise. And when we say such awful things, and by the way, I remember I was talking to one young fellow once, and he said, oh, I said, you shouldn't say that. He said, all right, well, fortunate then. I go, ah, that's just as bad. Okay, why can't you just say, praise the Lord? Amen? Amen. All right, that's your homework. Count how many times you swear and blaspheme this week. Okay, because I consider it as swearing and blasphemy. I'm a fanatic about it. All right, moving on. So why is Australia such a great country? Is it because of our beautiful beaches? Is it because of our beautiful scenery? Now, who knows what this one's called? 12 Apostles. Guess what? I was born about 10 kilometres inland from there, and I grew up with the 12 Apostles, and when we went on our first family holiday, and I keep waiting to see some beautiful, fantastic scenery. Trouble with being born next to some of the most spectacular scenery in the world. Is it Ayers Rock, Uluru? So is it our beautiful bushland? Is it all of the wonderful things that we produce, all of our sheep and all of our wool and the wheat and our iron ore industries? And is that why Australia is such a wonderful country? Well, this beautiful island is called Champagne Beach. Isn't that gorgeous? Look at the colour of that sand and the water. This is in Vanuatu. Have you ever been to this place? Yep. I think that's a little bit more spectacular than some of the places here in Australia. This is Victoria Falls on the border of Zimbabwe and Zambia in on the African continent. Anyone been to Niagara Falls? Few of you have, okay? Absolutely, I haven't, but it's... And look at that. And other countries produce enormous amounts of wheat and iron ore and so on and so forth. So we can't be such a great country because of all these things. And in some countries, they produce cows with really big heads. It's bigger than the heads of our cows, it appears. Well, Australia is such a great place because of what it's like to live here. That's really what it boils down to, you see. That's why so many people want to risk their lives and want to come and live in Australia. It's because we have some very special things here. We have freedom. We have opportunity. We have a wonderful health system. Now, I've been among those who've whinged about the fact that if I want free surgery for my knee, I have to wait 3 months or 5 years. Okay? And we whinge about that, don't we? But there was a man, remember when the Nairobi, American, was it in Nairobi, the American embassy that was bombed? Is that correct? Am I getting my countries right? Yep, and the American embassy was bombed. Some of you older ones remember that. And other buildings nearby were also severely damaged. There was a local African man who was a security guard or something like that, who was, his legs were crushed, completely crushed. And I can't remember the exact details of how it worked, but he didn't want the ambulance to take him away and save his life. He wanted to die because there was no medical health system that he could afford or available to have him have his legs repaired. And so he would be a burden to his family for the rest of his life. And so he wished he was dead. We don't have that sort of, we don't think like that in Australia. We have social security. Now, I remember the first time I was explaining it to some of the Zambian brethren in Zambia. For those younger ones, okay, you've got Africa and you've got South Africa and different countries there. One of the countries in southern African continent is a place called Zambia. And I was talking to some of the men there and explaining to them that in Australia we have this social security system, that if you can't work and you can't find a job, the government gives you money. And they said, they pay you not to work? They could not comprehend that the government would give you money and you didn't work. And every time I would go to Zambia, there would be one or more people come up to me and ask me if I could somehow sponsor them to get them to Australia. And I would graciously turn everyone down because I could see that these people were covetous. They wanted to get to Australia to get rich. And the thing is, if you aren't satisfied in Zambia, you won't be satisfied in Australia either. Was it Hubert, what was his name, who built the Spruce Goose all those years ago? He was the Hughes, somebody Hughes? Yep. Herbert Hughes? Or Howard Hughes. I think it was Howard Hughes, one of those richest men in the world type people, was asked the question, how much money will it take to satisfy you? And some of you may know his answer. His answer was one more dollar. One more dollar. In other words, he'd never be satisfied. And if you have a problem with covetousness, then that's what it's like. And if you want it, provided by the government, we have free education. Now, that's some pretty good things that many countries in the world today don't have. And we have much, much more. And there is something more, okay? We call it the Australian attitude. Fair dinkum, right? Fair go. She'll be right, mate. Pretty standard things that all Aussies know about it, isn't it? And there are plenty more of those sorts of sayings that we have here in Australia. And I'm going to sort of investigate a little bit about the origin of some of these things. We are heading somewhere for a purpose, all right? This is a history lesson and a geography lesson and a cultural lesson and all those sorts of things. But there is an eternal purpose in this. I'm sure you know that there is. So the big question is, wait for all the head scratches to finish. How did we get to have all these good things? How did this country get to have all these good things? Well, the answer can be found in two areas. And they're two areas that a lot of people sort of don't like to talk about, really, in everyday conversation. Government, which we tend to think of politics. And basically, if you're going to be involved in government in any form, then politics does have to come into it. But government ultimately is how a country operates. All of those things that we've talked about, social security, hospitals, roads and transport, and the reason why they collect taxes and so on. And then you have community. And community is how people live. And it's very important to understand that people live the way they do because of what they believe. Isn't that true? People live the way they do because of what they believe. And I'm sure those of you who, like me, have been living here in Australia for more than 40 or 50 years have noticed that people are living differently now to how they did in the past. And Australia isn't such a blessed country anymore as it has been in the past, because people in general have changed what they believe and therefore they are living differently. But let's go back a little bit and let's talk about government and this matter of how the country operates and the fact that we have freedom. Our government is set up so that we have freedom. In Australia, guess what? You're allowed to disagree with what the Prime Minister, the leader of the country, says, and you won't be thrown in jail. Or what did we just hear? You're not allowed to have a Bible app on your phone in Hong Kong, and it's far worse in China. I don't know if any one of you like comedy shows, but has anyone ever watched Parliament when it's in session on the TV? Okay. That's tragedy. But the fact is, the opposition leader can stand up and talk to the Prime Minister and say all sorts of very carefully but insulting things to the Prime Minister, and he doesn't end up in prison the next day or just disappears somehow. Right? We are allowed to have that freedom. But not just freedom politically, but freedom religiously. And even though we don't agree with the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Rastafarians and anyone else you want to think about, we believe that a person has a free choice to believe what they want to. Otherwise, we're hypocrites to have the free choice that we want to believe what we want to. Politically and spiritually. And we have opportunity. In Australia, anyone can pretty well pursue whatever they want to in life. It doesn't matter what your background is, in Australia you can do it. You see, in other countries there is what essentially is what's called a caste system. That if you are in a lower caste, you have to stay in that lower level. And if you believe a certain way or you're of a certain ethnic group or whatever, you've got no chance of getting anywhere, of being any kind of success. But in Australia, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you believe, what the colour of your hair is, or how much you've got, okay, you can pretty well do anything you like. Our education system in Australia, The government makes an opportunity that everyone can go to school. If we want to pay, we can go to great Christian schools, right? And we have that freedom too, to have a Christian school. But if you can't afford that, then the government provides well-equipped schools and teachers so that everyone can get brainwashed, everyone can go to school. And then we have our health system, among the best in the world. Now, I heard about a lady in the United States, because in the United States, if you haven't got health insurance, you're in big trouble, right? And this lady didn't have health insurance. She got cancer, and the bill for her chemotherapy and surgery or whatever was, this is a few years ago, was $1 million. $1 million. And even today in America, a new house, is only about $400,000 or $500,000. So even if they sold the house, they couldn't pay the bill. Can cost a fortune. Or on the other extreme, you can't get good medical help. You guys pray for Nurse Jane, and there's Rachel Cochran and others in Vanuatu and others in such places where there is very poor medical or no medical health help available. I can remember one year when we were in Vanuatu, and I think it was back in the 90s, and my wife was with me on that trip, and one of the ladies from the bush came into the big town where the hospital was to have a baby, and Sandy went in to see her and to do what she could to help. And at one stage, Sandy needed to go to the toilet. Now, this is at the hospital. She goes into the toilets and she almost threw up. Now, this is the hospital toilets. There was no toilet paper. There was no seat on the toilet. There was fecal material around the place. The tap where you wash your hands didn't even have a handle and didn't work. And this is in the toilets at the hospital. And the lady who came into the hospital, she had to provide her own bed sheets and her own food at the best hospital on the island. Now, things have improved a bit since, but that'll give you an idea of what it's like in many countries in the world today. We have a wonderful health system, and we can thank the Lord that we're here in Australia. We have our social security system whereby no job, no money in many countries, but you may have to wait in a queue for a while to fill out your form, but the government will give you social security. When you get old, the government will give you a pension, and so on and so forth. We are incredibly blessed here in Australia. So, why? How come our government is like it is? Well, it goes back to the way our government was set up. The principles and laws that our government were based upon. The laws and government of Australia are based on one thing: the Bible. I'm not sure how many of you knew that, but if you didn't, now you do. That's why Australia is such a great country. It was based on the Bible. The good things we have, freedom, opportunity, health, social security, free schools, etc., have grown from the principle that the government is there, read it with me, to serve the people. This was the example that was set by the Lord Jesus. He said, "I am among you as he that serves." And that's in Luke chapter 22, verse 27. Have you ever wondered, why is the leader of our country called the Prime Minister? I've asked people this question. I've asked Christians this question. Why is he called the Prime Minister? And the other fellas in his cabinet called the Minister for Education, the Minister for Transport, the Minister for Health, the Minister for Defence and so forth. Why are they called the minister of this and the minister of that? Well, the answer is very simple. It's from the Bible. Romans 13 verse 6 says, "For this cause pay ye tribute," that's your taxes, "for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." And so the people who set up the government of this country understood that they were ministers of God, and so therefore the leader of the country called himself the prime or the head minister. And there's a question you can throw out to your unsaved friends. And that'll start up a conversation, won't it? Because they won't have a clue. They'll say, well, that's because that's what the name is. It's like I love to ask young people on their computer, the save icon, what is it? And they'll say, well, it's a save icon. I'll say, yeah, but what is it? They'll say, it's the save icon. I'll say, okay, the printer icon, what is that? Well, it's a little printer. And the edit icon, what's that? Well, it's a little pencil. Right, well, it's a little printer, a little pencil. What's the save icon? It's the save. They don't know that it's actually a floppy disk. And most of you here will say, well, what's a floppy disk? Okay, ask mum and dad to explain it to you later. All right, moving on. But that's why they're called ministers. Our freedom and opportunity are based on the teaching that all people are equal because we're all descended from Adam and Eve, and therefore we are all family. That's why we have freedom for all in this country. And I told Will that this was the treat for him. Can anybody recognise somebody in this picture?
Yeah, Will's there.
Not quite Will, is it? Where are you, mate? Oh, there. So you recognise who it is? You don't know who it is? It's not you, is it? It's
That's not me.
It's not you. It's your older brother, though, isn't it? I think it must be Scott. I took this photo about 30 years ago. So here we go. Now, the tragic thing is that Aborigines were mistreated by people who didn't believe the Bible. The truth that's never shown on the TV, that our dear Aboriginal brothers and sisters were treated as equals by those who believed the Bible and were shown the plan of salvation. But those who didn't believe the Bible treated them cruelly, in the same way that Hitler wanted to exterminate Jews and gypsies and dark-skinned people because they believed in evolution. But those who believe the Bible believe that all of us are of one blood. Therefore, we're all family. Therefore, we are all each other's brothers and sisters, and there is no place for racism. If you believe in evolution, there is place for racism, because you can compare yourself with others and say, look, I'm better than you. But if you believe the Bible, there's no place. No place. Equality and opportunity for all have their basis in the Bible. Praise God that he has given us the authoritative word on all these matters. So, community. How people live, remember, is based on the way they believe. It's not hard to see that the good things in our community then came from the Bible too. Fair dinkum. What does fair dinkum mean? Well, it means to be true and honest. It means to be not false. And that we should always be honest and true comes straight from the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, in the Ten Commandments says, don't bear false witness, don't tell lies, be fair dinkum, be honest and true. Colossians 3, 9 says the same thing, to give someone a fair go. And that simply means to give everyone a chance to do well. And the principle of loving and helping your neighbour is from the Bible too, is it not? Is it all starting to make sense as to why Australia is such a great country? Luke chapter 10 is the story of helping the man who was injured. Now, some of you might not realise, because we all talk about the Good Samaritan and he's the hero of the story, okay? But you may not understand the ramifications of this. You see, the people that Jesus was talking to at the time were Jewish people. Jewish people who were not believers, okay? Jewish people who were really upset by this Jesus guy who was saying all this stuff and upsetting the way we've got everything set up type Jewish people. And these Jewish people detested their next door neighbours. Their next door neighbours were the Samaritans. And the Samaritans lived sort of in the middle of Israel. Now I need to turn myself around, okay? So this is the southern part of Israel where Jerusalem is. And I'm turning myself around. So the Mediterranean Sea is here and the Jordan runs down here. So you've got Jerusalem and southern Israel here. In the middle is Samaria where the Samaritans live. And up north is the Sea of Galilee and where Capernaum is, or as the locals will say, Capernaum, okay? I can remember the first time one of the locals said to me, we'll be at Capernaum later. Capernaum? I don't remember having that on the itinerary. And she said, oh, you pronounce it Capernaum. Capernaum. Okay. So Kaffa is the word for village and Nahum is how we pronounce Nahum, okay? So it means the village of Nahum, Capernaum. That's what Capernaum means. Anyway, so Capernaum and Galilee and all that are up north, and the Samaria and the Samaritans are in the middle, and most Jews, instead of going straight from Jerusalem up to the Sea of Galilee and the towns around there like Nazareth, they would actually cross over the Jordan, go up the other side, then cross back over and then go up. That's how much they detested the Samaritans. And when the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and help me out with this, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the world. Now, most people think he's saying you'll be Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the world. But that's not the picture. The picture is Jerusalem, Judea, those next door neighbours that you hate, and under the rest of the world. Okay? Because the Jews would take the gospel to everyone except the Samaritans, unless the Holy Spirit was doing a work in their lives. And so when Jesus told a story that a priest came walking along and he saw this man injured by the side of the road and he walked around and went by without helping him, and then along comes a Levite and he sees him and he walks by without helping him. Okay, now in today's terms, that would be the pastor who's walking along the road and he sees him and he walks by without helping. And then along comes the deacon and he sees him and walks past without helping him. And then the Lord Jesus says, and then along came a Samaritan and he stopped and helped him. A Samaritan, the hero of the story? You have got to be kidding! In today's terms, that's like saying the pastor walked along I'll be late for church if I help him. Okay, the deacon comes along and he sees him injured by the side of the road and he says, oh, I've got to go and help a widow with her and mow her lawn. I better go and do that, and doesn't stop and help him. And then along comes a bikie on his Harley Davidson with his tats and everything and he says, oh, someone's injured, mate. I better stop and help him. You all right, buddy? Let me give you a hand up. Hang on, I'll put you on the back of the bike and take you down to the nearest hotel and I'll pay for your stay until you get better. The pastor's not the hero? No. The deacon's not the hero? The bikie is the hero? You've got to be kidding. And that's what Jesus did time and time again to get people's attention that, hey, things aren't right here and I've come to straighten them out. There it is. She'll be right, mate. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And that purpose is in the next verse that we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And if you trust Christ and you are walking in faith, then no matter what happens, you can say, she'll be right, mate. The Lord's got a purpose in this. Look at precious Lauren over here, okay? They're going through what Sandy and I went through 12 years ago. And maybe you'll go through it in a year from now. Do you know that God allows suffering in the lives of Christians so that others, particularly the unsaved, can see that what we've got's real? Amen. If the charismatics were right and that Christians should always be happy and healthy and wealthy, listen, the unsaved can be happy when they're healthy and wealthy and nothing goes wrong. But to be able to maintain a deep inner peace and joy through the most terrible circumstances, people look at you. People looked at Sandy when she was going through it and said, I want what you've got. Amen. The Lord allows suffering in our lives so we can show that what we've got's real and that we trust the true and living God. And that we don't just trust him when things are good and we question him when things are bad. That's the sort of God we have, who says, I'm going to take you through a valley of the shadow of death, but I'll walk with you. I'm going to let you go into the fire like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, but I'll be with you. And you all know the story of the footprints on the beach, don't you? The two sets of footprints going along the beach. This person had the dream and there were two sets of footprints, the Lord's and mine. And every now and again, there'd only be one set of footprints. And then there'd be two again. And then there'd only be one set of footprints. And then there'd be two again. And then the person said, Lord, when they got to heaven, Lord, when and those times when there was only one set of footprints, I know that they were the darkest, most difficult times in my life. Why did you leave me during those times? And the Lord said, my precious child, I didn't leave you during those times. I carried you. That's the Saviour we have, friends. She'll be right, mate. It'll turn out all right. What? You gotta laugh sometimes, don't you? In a more serious note, it's much more like this. Okay? You're safe on the rock. You're safe on the rock. Be a lighthouse founded on a rock. How people live. Respect, honour and obey your parents. That comes from Exodus 12, Ephesians 6, honour and obey your mother and father. And years ago, kids did honour and obey their mother and father, but these days things have changed. Look at this, when they taped the little brother to the wall, okay? Don't most sisters wish they could do that to their brother? Respect and obey the law. Romans 13, 1-7 tells us that the law is there for the evil, for the wrongdoer. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the police. If I hear a siren, I don't look over my shoulder and wonder. You know what I love? When I see a breath testing station up ahead, I see it up ahead and I go, pull me over, pull me over, pull me over. Because we carry in our glove box and in our purse and wallet, we carry these little tracts, a little thank you tract. I don't know if you guys have seen, I've showed you these ones before, I don't know if you've got some yourself, but when we get pulled over for the breathalyzer, how many more hours can I go? When I get pulled over for a breathalyzer, and the guy says, blow into this, please, sir. I take a deep breath and go. As long as I possibly can. And I did bring something, so I'm not dribbling on the floor, okay? So he looks at it. And I remember one guy asked me, sir, have you had a drink tonight? And I said, no, I haven't had one for 25 years. He goes, oh. Okay? And then I say, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for keeping our community safe. And then I hand them a little thank you. And they do, oh, thank you. You can move on now, sir. We give these to people in shops, check out chicks. I've only had one person ever give it back to me. It was a guy in a service station. And he gave it back to me. He said, you gave me one of these when you were in here 3 months ago. With a beam from ear to ear. The lady who takes my blood, she keeps hers in her purse. Other people give it to, and they turned over and they read the first sentence. I appreciate what you've done. Oh, thank you. Now you're saying thank you to them. And they'll go, oh, thank you. I'm going to put this on my fridge. Don't get that with many tracks, do you? Anyway, where am I up to? Evening service. Let's start the evening service. Okay. Care for the weak and needy. The Bible teaches us to care for those who need help, doesn't it? And I remember before I got saved, I was saved at 21 years of age. Before I got saved, I checked out the Hare Krishnas, among other things, and they gave me a Bhagavad Gita, which is their Bible. And I started reading it. And I turned to it, and they had pictures. And I turned to one page, and it had a picture of a village. And on the street were beggars begging. And a Hare Krishna in his robes was walking along the street. And he's walking like this, not looking at those who were begging. And at the bottom it said, the truly spiritual one does not help those who have been reincarnated as a cripple or something, otherwise we are lessening their punishment for their previous life. Slam went the book, into the bin it went. And I was thankful that the Lord let me see that. And you can tell them about the luggage of life. Okay, equality for women, abolition of slavery, rights of children, and on it goes. How did these things from the Bible become part of our government and part of our community? Well, did you know that Captain Cook read the Bible to his crew every Sunday? Did you know that Richard Johnson was on the First Fleet? Richard Johnson was the only free man, as it were, on the First Fleet. He was the only man on the First Fleet who didn't have to be there. He was there willingly. The crew, the soldiers, they had to be there. They were commanded by their authorities to go there. The convicts had to be there. Richard Johnson was the only man on that boat who didn't have, on those boats who didn't have to be there. He wanted to be there. He was a missionary, and it was Isaac Newton, Amazing Grace, and I believe William Wilberforce who were behind making a way to be able to get him on that boat as a free man. And he preached to the troops on February the 3rd, as well as the convicts on February the 3rd from Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall we render unto the Lord for his goodness unto us? We will take the cup of salvation. That's how this country began, when the First Fleet arrived, and that's led to the government that was set up. Many of our explorers trusted Christ. Ludwig Leithart was a believer. Charles Sturt was a believer. Those who formed our constitution, our government, recognised that it was based on the Bible. They insisted that the opening words of our constitution were relying on the blessings of Almighty God. And there is 1901 or whatever is the founding of the nation. Many old church buildings across the country testify to the influence of Christian teaching. The tragedy is these days they're op shops or restaurants and stuff. Let's give credit where credit's due. Australia is the great place it is because its government, how it runs, and the community, how people live, are based on the teachings of the Bible, God's Word. You know, my daughter-in-law is from Vanuatu. And I'll try and fix myself up a little bit by telling you what happened at their wedding. My son Tim married Honor, which is short for Honorine. She speaks 5 or 6 languages. at the wedding, they had the candle ceremony. How many of you have seen the candle ceremony where you have three candles, okay, and the two on the outside are lit, and the boy takes one and the girl takes the other, and they put them together and light the one in the middle, and then they blow their candles out to show that they've become one. And at their wedding, my wife leaned over and said, "Honey, couldn't they have found three candles the same colour? Surely they could have got three candles to match, because Ono's candle was dark chocolate and colour, and Tim's candle was white, and the candle in the middle was milk chocolate coloured." And I had to explain to my wife why our grandkids are milk chocolate coloured, okay? Oh, it was beautiful. And when she realised, she goes, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" Okay, but you know that the missionaries who went to Vanuatu ruined some of the wonderful cultural things that the people of Vanuatu did, like cannibalism, for example. Now, it's true that some missionaries have done the wrong thing. It's true. We don't deny that at all. But those who would go to another country, like Richard Johnson when he came to Australia, and other missionaries who have come to Australia and gone out and reached out to our dear Aboriginal brothers and sisters and so on and so forth, the intention is to see them saved from the lake of fire and be able to live forever in heaven with their Saviour. Okay? We need to be forgiven of our mistakes and so on and so forth, but Australia is still a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful country. Vanuatu is now one of the most peaceful countries in the world. From a nation of cannibals to a place where, when my wife was there with me on the first trip, she had no hesitation in walking from the house where we were staying across through the township to someone else's place at night in the dark, just with a torch. She had no fear for her safety. And you know what made the change? The gospel. God's love, God's truth, people coming to Christ. So my friends, what a blessing to live in Australia. And I trust maybe some of these things that you've learnt today will give you an appreciation for the goodness of God. And what I really would like is for you to be able to use some of these things to open up a conversation with someone and point them to the Saviour like you found the Saviour. And perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. Saviour is someone who saves you from something, and you need to be saved from your sins. Just like a lifesaver saves a person from drowning in the water, my dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, you're drowning in your sins, and he wants to save you if you will call out to him and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." And he will. And he'll keep you safe in his arms until you get to shore. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And Lord, I thank you for the patience of these dear ones this morning as we've had this session. But Lord, we have learnt some things. And we've been reminded what a wonderful God you are, your great love for us and your great provision in Jesus. And so we thank you and we pray your continued mighty work in each of our lives. Amen.